Hey everyone, this is Isabel returning for podcast number 4 on the Holy Raw Nutrition Podcast. So for those of you who don't know, I am a certified small animal naturopath, and I'm also certified in carnivore nutrition. I focus on nutrition for dogs and cats as nature intended for them to eat. I have my own shop in a small town called Chelsea, Quebec, where my team and I help hundreds of pets each month. We offer a wide variety of raw food and holistic supplements, and my goal is to empower you as a pet owner so that you have the knowledge and the tools necessary to make the right health choices for your pets. So it's been a hot minute since I've done my last podcast, a little over a month. I was gone on a 3-week journey in British Columbia, in Armstrong in particular, at the Linking Awareness Journey, where I got to learn about animal communication and doing some deep dive within myself so that I can better help my clients. So it was pretty interesting. I learned a lot. It was so funny because, you know, after 2 weeks, it's just really a lot of wonderful information, and Lucia is such a fantastic teacher. So I was definitely like full after 2 weeks, but it pushed me to keep going. And now I just feel so good and integrated with all this amazing knowledge and tools to really help animals on a much deeper level. So that's a little bit of what's been going on, and I'm really excited to be incorporating some new services to my business. So anyways, in today's podcast, I'd like to share with you Ayla's story about her CCL injury. CCL is basically like the ACL injury in humans. And so this has been a topic that's been coming up for me lately, so I figured it was time to share Ayla's story. So what is CCL injury? CCL is cranial cruciate ligament. It's the rupture. Rupture is the tearing of an important ligament in the stifle joint of the knee, resulting in partial or complete joint instability, pain, and lameness. This is such a common injury that isn't entirely related to wear and tear. So there's also the cranial cruciate ligament disease. So this is caused by a combination of different factors, which would include aging of the ligament, so a degenerative disease. It can be caused by obesity, poor physical condition, genetics, conformation, and breed. So a vet would be able to help you identify whether it's CCL or if it's CRCLD, which is the cranial cruciate ligament disease. So Ayla had a full CCL and meniscus tear. The meniscus is an important cartilage cushion in the stifle. So she had this injury at the young age of 2 and a half. And after extensive research and linking into the possible reasons why Ayla, my young, healthy, lean dog, had this injury, it really amazed me as to what it is that I learned in that 1-year-and-4-month journey. So I had Ayla spayed at the age of 1.5, and I really did want to wait until she was 2, and I waited as long as I could, and it seemed like every heat cycle she had, she'd be, you know, going off and trying to find her mate. So I was living in an apartment in British Columbia at the time, and I decided it was time to get her spayed. So So I brought her in, got her spayed at 1.5 years. And a few months later, I was back in Kamloops working in Stump Lake on the horse ranch that I used to manage there. And it first started off as a front left shoulder injury. And I just didn't think much of it because she played pretty rough with the 4 dogs that were on the farm. And then a week before I was done my contract, she started having a limp on her back right leg. Honestly, I just thought she had torn a muscle from just ripping around in the field so much. This is a farm dog, right? So they're pretty active. And when I moved back home in Quebec, After a month of her still limping, I was like, okay, there's something wrong here. This is not my dog. This is not like my dog. And so I called my vet, made an appointment, and it was in that moment that he had diagnosed her with a full-blown CCL and meniscus tear. So you know the meniscus is torn when you hear a clicking sound when you're bending their knee. So yeah, it was completely torn. And he had recommended the two different types of surgery. So the one is the figure eight and the other one is the TPLO, which they put plates in, and that one's pretty intense, which he said would have needed to have been done in Montreal. So during this time, I was studying to be an animal naturopath, and I thought there must be another way. There's no way that my super young, generally healthy dog couldn't actually have the tools within herself to heal. So I was thinking of, there must be some sort of supportive therapy to help her overcome this on her own. So I started asking around of what people did, if people opted out of surgery or if they went for along with the surgery, and I wasn't feeling so confident anymore because most people that were responding did in fact go ahead with the TPLO surgery. And at the time I was told by the vet that when you do a TPLO surgery, it'd be 60 to 70% chance that you'd have to do the surgery on the other leg at a certain point because that other leg is overcompensating for the one that had the TPLO, right? So I then started to speak with humans who I knew had ACL injuries from sports that they played. And some did surgery while others did natural therapy such as physio. So I figured, well, if humans can do that, why couldn't animals, right? I mean, what would they do in nature? So I started to support my dog naturally through diet, which naturally she was already being supported through nutrition, but I was incorporating supplements to really help. So I tried many different types of supplements before I noticed which ones actually worked for her, and we'll talk more about the natural supplementations that I used. But please, this is no way of diagnosing, prescribing or anything like that, because each animal is so individual, and what is the right fit as far as supplements to support their knees or to support anything arthritic related. All animals are individual, and what's the right fit for one might not be the right fit for another. So anyways, after that I started to seek swimming therapy for Ayla because she was on bed rest, so she had a lot of pent-up energy, and we had to really limit her exercise. I also couldn't let her use the stairs, so like I was carrying her. I couldn't let her jump in my car, so I'd lift her. So she was really getting really limited movement. And just like a simple 15-minute leash walk, my dog would be limping for like 3 days and just really showing, you know, that she's in pain. So I did lots of brain games for her to keep her mentally stimulated. I ordered a knee brace, which personally did not work as it was a soft one, and I bought this from this rehabilitation center, quote unquote, out in Ontario, and it ended up being a complete waste of money. It was like almost $1,000. And so what I'm trying to get at is, if you are going to go ahead with a knee brace, they are fantastic, but get the hard shell one. Do not get a soft one. I don't care what they say. It doesn't, in my experience, it definitely didn't work. And I really didn't see how it could support the knee. So if you do decide to get a knee brace for your dog to help support their knee, I definitely recommend that you have it measured by your vet. They will do all the measurements for you when you're filling out the paperwork to have a company make a customized brace for your dog. So that would definitely be the route to go. I then found a natural rehabilitation swimming place in Ottawa for Ayla that accepted her breed type. So Ayla is an American Bully, and there's a lot of places that actually will not take any type of bully breed. So I found a place that was fantastic, and they loved the bully breeds, and it was just a really beautiful vibe. And they just loved her, and she loved every minute of swimming. And they helped her use her leg correctly to help build the muscles that she needed to build for supporting her knee. And they also helped with like her fully stretching her leg when she was swimming to help relax those muscles and to use them properly, as opposed to having them tense and rigid. So we also had her in for laser therapy after the swimming to help break up excess scar tissue in the knee so it could heal properly. So when they do get an injury, scar tissue will start to form. And if you aren't correcting the way that they're placing their knee or anything, the scar tissue could actually build up to a point where it's the knee is kind of, you know, placed incorrectly. I don't know how to explain that properly, but that's the best I can do for now. It's just incorrect. So when they do laser therapy, it helps break down that scar tissue so that we could help correct the knee and how it should be. So I really noticed a huge difference when we did laser therapy, and Ayla really did enjoy it. I was out for lunch. This takes us fast forwarding a little bit. This takes us to the time when I went out for lunch with my dad, and he had a friend there who was a veterinarian, and I wanted a second opinion. So I asked him about Ayla and told him, you know, everything I'm doing and that she had a torn ACL and meniscus. And he also suggested TPLO. I was still not happy with that answer, so I made an appointment with a third vet. And this vet also said she needed surgery, but he wanted to do the Papillon surgery, which is the figure eight. And the figure eight is basically the replacement of the ligament. I told him I was trying natural therapies, and he totally respected my choice, which is very rare to find in a vet. So I continued to go and see him. Emotionally, dealing with an animal, as some of you know who are dealing with it right now, that has a knee injury, it is emotionally difficult, because there's nothing easy about seeing your best friend in pain and not able to really walk properly and limping. So I did everything to keep her comfortable. It felt like the most challenging thing in my life at the time. I started to do essential oil massages on her knee almost every night. I use the best therapeutic grade oils and only recommend that. It's important to use the best quality essential oils, especially with animals. So for Ayla, I use the frankincense essential oil, very minimal peppermint for the cooling effect, and lavender, which is really nice, calming, soothing, anti-inflammatory. And I allowed Ayla to choose her essential oils, and she really enjoyed the massages, and it was also a really great way for us to have a bonding moment. Nutritionally, I gave her bone broth daily. So I would make her a bone broth, and that's loaded with chondroitin and glucosamine. So I used beef marrow bones and chicken feet in my bone broth. It's also it's a really great anti-inflammatory. We did try the golden paste, because obviously there's lots of wonderful benefits to golden paste, but it wasn't really one that I found agreed with Ayla, and she really didn't enjoy it. So I stopped giving her that, and I did give her ginger, which she did like, and that's a very strong anti-inflammatory. Ginger has so many benefits. If you've never heard of using ginger, definitely do some research on it, because it is a wonderful must-have herb in your pantry for sure. So for pain relief and anti-inflammatory of the joints, I use Devil's Claw. And once I discovered this online, this was hands down a saving grace for Ayla. It takes about 3 to 4 weeks of daily use before you can start seeing effects. And it's known, Devil's Claw is known to be strong as NSAIDs. So that's pretty amazing. And this really helped with pain relief. I had tried a joint supplement, and I did try it for a good 3 months, but I didn't notice any difference. So I stopped giving her those, and Ayla also got CBD oil as well as green lip muscle near the end of her recovery. And she got raw chicken feet daily, as it's loaded with chondroitin and glucosamine. And of course, we worked with my homeopath, anyone who knows me knows how much I love homeopathy. It's got a place for everything. It's for everywhere. So I really, really love homeopathy, and it was something that was definitely beneficial in incorporating in her daily ritual. And yeah, so the rehab center had also given us exercises to do daily to help her strengthen her knee and just like positioning herself properly when she'd sit. You'll notice a dog with CCL injuries, they will actually prompt their leg out sideways and have like that leg stretched out instead of like sitting where their knees are actually straight and they have their back paws under their bum, so to speak. So they'll have like a lazy sit, and sometimes that has an indicator right there that they might have a knee problem. I'm not saying all the time, but in Ayla's particular case, yeah. So I was helping correct that. And 6 months later, after all these therapies, I brought her back to the vet, and she had gone 3 weeks without limping at this point, and I was so excited. So she was starting to feel good, but not 100% yet. And my vet was in shock. His exact words were, "I'm not sure what you're doing, but keep going. Keep doing it." So that was great confirmation for me that I was definitely on the right track. Yeah, so definitely on the right track. And days became weeks, weeks became months with her not limping. And I knew I was doing something right. So swimming therapy 2 days a week, laser therapy 1 day a week. She was getting raw food and natural supplements to support her needs, as well as our nightly massage therapy ritual. And it wasn't until like, I'd say 6-7 months that we started to like, our walk started to being from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 minutes to 20 minutes and just really slowly increasing her activity level very gradually. I'd never pushed her. So I'm happy to say that after 1 year and 4 months, Ayla has never been so strong. She actually is completely limp free, and her CCL and meniscus had pretty much fully healed. Based on what the vet said. And so in the winter, she has like the odd arthritic inflammation, which whether you do surgery or not, you're going to most likely be, your pet will most likely deal with arthritis because of the scar tissue and stuff. So, but it's totally manageable and it's really rarely apparent. So yes, when we offer our animals what they need for them to heal themselves, it can be successful. Ayla was young, so I had full confidence that she could heal herself. Did you know, according to the Veterinary Teaching Academy, they quoted, a factor affecting CCL injury is gender. So female dogs are more likely to rupture their CCL than males, at a rate of 65% in females compared to 35% in males in one study in which 165 cases were reviewed. There was no occurrence of CCL ruptures in either intact males or intact female dogs or in late neutered females. So the correlation between neutering our pets is got so much to do with the outcome and possibility of CCL. They also say after spaying, female dogs go straight into menopause. The bones stop forming, the hip joints stop forming, and often these dogs get hip dysplasia, which puts additional forces on the CCL ligament. This is why I tell clients to wait as long as they can to spay or neuter, as I believe this statement really relates more to pets being spayed, like at what time frame they're getting spayed at, so under the age of 2. And it just boggles me that vets are still recommending for people to have their animals spayed at 6 months. Like when my clients tell me that, I'm just like, no, 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 no. Because 10 years ago when I was going to the vet school, that's when they were already starting to say that we should be waiting at least 2 years before spaying or neutering our dogs. So I found a really cool article by Healthy and Happy Dogs. They shared, and hopefully I'm saying this word right, gonadectomy, removal of ovaries and testes, increase the prevalence of ACL injury across sizes and breeds of dogs of either sex. We conclude that ACL injury occurs with a high prevalence in dogs and that spaying or neutering significantly increases the prevalence of this injury. So in 2007, a study was conducted at the Veterinary School of Colorado State University, whose objective was to identify risk factors for development of excessive tibial plateau angle, TPA, in large breed dogs with cranial cruciate ligament, so CCL disease. This study documented a threefold increase in excessive TPA for dogs neutered or spayed early. The explanation is fairly simple. The long bones, e.g. the tibia in the knee joint, have a growth plate which closes and terminates growth when the bone is grown to its genetically determined proper length. The closure of bony growth plates generally occurs when the dog is between the ages of 4 months and 18 months and is regulated by sex hormones. This is super important, guys. That closure of bony growth plates, I'll say it again, is regulated by sex hormones between the age of 4 to 18 months. So spay and neuter drastically alters the sex hormones in female male dogs at least for a time after the surgery. It is well documented that if a dog is spayed or neutered before the growth plates in the long bones at the elbow, knee, or hip joint have closed, the closure of the growth plates will be delayed. The variability with respect to dogs developing excessive TPA is dependent upon the time frame chosen for the spay, neuter, and actual genetically determined time frame for closure of growth plates in the individual dog. Additionally, we have the variable ability of each dog to compensate for the loss of the sex hormone. Depending upon the length of delay, the long bones continue to grow longer beyond their genetically determined length. In the knee, the longer tibia creates an excessive tibial plateau angle, which predisposes the dogs to CCL tear and rupture. This is one of the very important reasons it is strongly recommended to spay neuter after the age of 2 when the dog is fully developed. So did you know dogs are not fully developed until they are 2 years old? So that's why you should wait as long as you can. And if your dog is in heat or is a humpy type dog, maybe don't take it to the dog park right away. Just being mindful of that. So pets who are more predisposed to CCL injuries are determined by breed, age and age they were spayed and neutered, obesity, activity level, and conformation. This is also one of my hunches too, is that, and there's no apparent research behind this yet, but I really think someone should look into for one of the reason female dogs are more susceptible to CCL injuries having to do with them getting a C-section to having their ovaries removed. So the scar tissue, and this is my own thought process, the scar tissue and this particular surgery makes for a tightened abdomen, which would affect, in what I would think, would affect the lower back hip area and possibly creating tension of the muscles and ligaments. I tried to find related evidence, but I haven't seen anything about this yet. So I was also surprised of all the holistic pet books that I have that none of them talk about naturally supporting our dogs with CCL injuries. So I had to pave my own way with Ayla, and through trial and error, I'm really happy to say that Ayla did fully recover. So the breeds that have been documented to being more prone to CCL injuries, according to Seattle Vet Clinic, are Labrador Retrievers, Pit Bulls, Rottweilers, Newfoundland, Staffordshire Terrier, Mastiffs, Akita, St. Bernards, and Chesapeake Bay Retrievers. It is so important to make sure our pets are at a healthy weight. The amount of animals that come into my practice and people think it's so cute that their dogs are pudgy or they think that's a healthy weight it's not healthy. This strains the joints. So they're, when they're straining the joints, they're so much more susceptible to CCL injuries. So it's really important that we keep them at a healthy weight, because that's going to help them with their overall well-being. It's also important to not overly exercise our puppies. Not a lot of people know this, but you're really not supposed to overexert puppies under a year old, because their joints are developing. And I hear of people taking their puppies for like a 1 hour hike, and that's really hard on the joints that are developing, growing, and forming. And this is also a factor that I think we should really strongly consider. And so what I would recommend is to keep the exercise moderate for the first year to allow the body to form, grow, and strengthen. I think it's so healthy to know that we have options and that there are things we can do to support our pets to either prevent or help support them through a CCL injury. I know there is studies, and where's that book? I have a book here. 1 second. There is a fantastic book, and it's by Dr. Earl Mindell's CBD and the Health for Dogs. It's not really about CBD, which is actually funny. Like, the last chapter is about CBD. But they talk about vitamin C and how it's been proven that when giving dogs vitamin C in moderation has actually proven to help completely prevent hip dysplasia in breeds that are more predisposed to getting it. So that was really interesting. Just a side note on that. Also, if you have a pet in the Ottawa area who is young and have a CCL injury, I would for sure check out Rehab for Your Pets in Ottawa. They offer amazing services and see this injury daily, right? So whether it's an animal pre or post-surgery, they offer water therapy, laser therapy, massage therapy, chiro, physiotherapy, the list goes on. You can also seek an animal nutritionist to help support your pets naturally through diet. So this is definitely where we can help you for sure if ever you're looking for the nutritional side of things to help support your pets during this time, because kibble keeps pets in a constant state of dehydration, which eventually sucks the moisture from the joints. So a raw diet, it obviously has got live vitamins, live minerals, live enzymes, live nutrients, and has 70% moisture. So it keeps, it helps keep the joints nice and lubricated, and the body as well, keeping it hydrated. So this is also really important to help also regulate inflammation. Also remember, if you have a puppy, wait as long as you can to have them spayed or neutered. There are things we can do to ensure that they are supported during their heat cycle, and also to keep everybody in the house sane during that time. So also making sure our pets stay at a healthy weight is important. And if you're not sure what to look, what that looks like, what a healthy weight looks like for a dog, you can check out the healthy weight chart online. It's available all over the place. So make sure to help check the healthy weight chart for your dogs and cats. And also limit your puppy's exercise to not overexert their delicate joints. I hope you found this podcast informative. It feels so good to be back on this show and to be back on this platform to help, you know, empower you guys so you can make your own decisions. But yeah, definitely check us out on Instagram or Facebook at Holy Raw Nutrition, which is HOLIRAW Nutrition. And if you have any questions about anything, feel free to email us at holyrawnutrition@gmail.com. So thank you so much. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.